Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, which we like to lovingly call Satsang, is being recorded for February 25th, 2017, and I am most grateful to be with you. I really am. I want to remind you that these radio programs that we offer are supported solely and entirely upon sponsorship. Your sponsorship, the people who have become sponsors, it's a very important thing for us to sustain, and we can't do it without your loving support. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on that, you'll see a drop-down menu that says, Why Support Aspire? And it will give you all the information that we have and that you will have about why Aspire is important to donate to and exactly where the money goes. It goes to airtime. It really isn't hieroglyphics. It's not rocket science either. Everything in this world, whether we like it or not, costs money. And we have to pay for so many things, and it is only through your donation, and you'll see the things that we pay for besides airtime. And your donations go out to hospice and the hospital work that I do, as well as all the things you see on the Aspire website at aspire.org. Also, if you become a sponsor now, you get all of the discourses that I did over the, 30-some years of doing TV. And all of these discourses, all the programs you see, have more in-depth offerings. CDs and cassettes I made in the day, or the way back in cassette days. All of the discourses I did for the in-depth study of the subject I was offering on Aspire. So there's, you know, some, huge amount of discourses there for you at your leisure. You can download them. You can listen to them. They're all free for sponsors. People who become sponsors have access to everything, the podcasts, the video casts, and the commentaries. All of this is a way of thanking you for your loving support, which translates into helping other people and humankind through Aspire. And we do a lot of work. I do a lot of work to help. And I hope you will become a sponsor. I get a lot of interesting emails about karma. I talk a lot about karma because it is a part of the Tibetan pulsing effort, the meditations that I do, a lot of what I do at retreats and workshops to help my students understand a little bit about the ebb and flow of life. It is not about a philosophy. It is not about a religion. It is about the direct experience of having something that gives your life substance, form, shape, everything. Things that are deeply important to the well-being of you. This whole universe is very intelligent. It exceeds the kind of thinking that most of us have access to. We think in terms of black and white, but the universe has no thought itself. It has no philosophy. And people want to know how it works. And, you know, I can give you broad strokes, okay? I can give you things that might help you understand the nature of what it is to have some sort of, submission to the ebb and flow of life and the beauty of love. But I can't give you anything you can think, and it's very frustrating because you have to immerse yourself. It's like getting into water. How do you explain getting wet to a person? How do you explain to a four-year-old that he can or she can ride a bicycle without trainer wheels, that there is balance? How do you learn balance? You just got to get on the old bicycle and go for it. Anyway, all of this is what I'm trying to offer, and I get loads of questions about this based on my discourses and the journal that I publish every month that you can order. So here we go. Here are some of the questions. And I'm really enjoying the kind of relationship I'm having with my readers and my listeners with all of this. First one comes from Ray. He does not tell me where he lives. Do we get our payback at death, or do we get our payback after death in another life? I'm just curious, Ray. Ray, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm the oracle, because I'm not. But I can tell you there is repetition in this lifetime that I have seen in my own life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my own life and talk a little bit about the lives of my students that they share with me. Some of them are very prolific about sharing and others are very withholding. Everything happens as an ebb and a flow, and it isn't about payback. It isn't about you do this and then you get that for payback. It's the energy that you and I immerse ourselves in. Whatever that energy is, however that energy is, and how it works and the way it works, manifests certain things in this world, the world that we're in currently. But we're not totally in this world. We're also in other worlds. We're in other things, depending upon how we lived, what we consider important, and what is vital to our awakening. You see, it's all about awakening. If I awaken, if I'm aimed towards awakening, then I can develop other eyes, other ears, other sensibilities. These sensibilities have nothing to do with how I read a book or how I'm even talking to you. It is about how we commune with that which lives within us that is nothing but authentic love. And this love pours out into the ethers. This love is what you and I are all about. It is the way we live. And it is to, shall we say, catch our own creation and start manifesting it and start living it. So you ask me, do we get our payback at death or in the afterlife? I am currently working with my students on living deathlessly, without birth, without death. And this is a very important thing that we're doing. Your body may be born, your body may die, but you are that which is birthless and deathless. That part of you, you carry with you wherever you go. Right now, we are entities. We live as an entity. We live without the sense of a soul, without any real sense of love, without any real sense of what we're here for. Most people have no idea why they're on this earth. So they just keep doing the things they're doing, hoping to do what their DNA tells them to do, which is simply to survive. There are two things that are multi-important to our DNA. One is survival, and then the other is reproduction. So we live only in those two things. We never refine our life. We never go any deeper in our life than that. We just live for the idea of reproduction and survival. And those are our basic elements. When you start questioning your existence beyond your DNA in this world, that is when you're going to start to awaken and get more information. And that will be done through the intuitive sense of you in meditation. And meditation is the way in which we connect with our deeper self. In that lie the answers to your questions. And if you want to understand the nature of your question, which is basically survival, you want to know, are you going to have a good life, or when do you have to pay back for all the dorky, dinky things you and I have done in this world? Well, you know, that's every day. That's every moment of my life. Every moment of my life when I am living just purely to gratify myself and make myself feel important or get the things I want that make me feel like I'm loved and all that other stuff. That's an endless thing. And isn't that enough of a payback? I mean, that I live in my ignorance, that I live in my guilt, my shame, that I live in an idea that I even have a self. Isn't that bad enough for us, you know, that you think you're a Ray, I think I'm a Greg? Isn't that enough? Because there are such ramifications to Ray and Greg. If you only live for them, it's so petty and so small. That's like living to be a stone in a mountain. You're more than a stone. You are the mountain itself. Every stone is a part of something bigger than itself. You are bigger than yourself. You are much bigger than the self you have. But who can tell you that other than just pump a philosophy? And here's the difficulty. Life is not philosophical. You can't make a philosophy out of this beautiful life. It is absolutely impossible to do. Philosophy does not cover everything life is about. So the minute you go to some philosophy, some religion, and you accept it and you live by it, you have limited yourself down, 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 down to things that, frankly, are in people's imaginations and have nothing to do with the reality of their given situation. But I, once again, who can tell you these kind of things? If I say this to you, get insulted. If I talk about these things, you begin to question them. If I reveal things to you, you want to make a philosophy out of them. Life is not a philosophy. Life is not a religion. Life is life. And whatever that beautiful life is that you discover within yourself, it will be manifest through kindness and compassion. You will see all sorts of beautiful things that you are. And you are those beautiful things. You and I just forget them because we're so busy being what we thought we should be instead of what we really are. So there's kind of an overview for you. I hope it helps you in some way. Ray, don't be overly concerned about payback for being cruel at times or ugly. I mean, it's going to be there. We've all been cruel and ugly at times, all of us. And there are certain limitations that we have placed within ourselves for these things, not as punishment, but as a matter of ignorance. We're never being punished. We don't get punished, you know, for being angry. As Buddha said, we get punished by sustaining it. We make our lives difficult because we build a philosophy around the whole idea that we have the right to be angry and we're victims and all this other stuff. It isn't true. It's all about love. That's all I can say to you. It's all about love. And there are many things that you can do to perpetuate love in your life. And that's what you need to do. Perpetuate love and not be so worried about the payback thing. Come what may. Come what may. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is always interesting to me that we want to know exactly what our lives are all about, and yet we don't seem to have a great deal of respect for any part of our living. It's just very interesting. The next question comes from Linda in Henderson, Nevada. That's interesting. I think I've been through Henderson. I'm not sure. I think I did to get back east. Do we suffer at the end with all of the tragedies that we have made in our life? If so, why? Linda. Linda, as you know, I work at hospice. If you listen to these radio programs, you know. And there are various ways in which people leave their body. When I first started way back in the early 80s doing hospice, the whole mechanism was different because there were no drugs that could help a person hallucinate and get crazy because they wanted to not feel the pain of their body. And I don't blame them. I'm all for medication that helps. The pain of dying physically is excruciating. Some people just pass. Other people are absolutely conscious before they die and can talk about a lot of different things when they go through the process of dying, and it's very interesting. So it just depends on where you're at in your life and where you're at with your body. You asked me, do we suffer at the end, for all the dumb things we've done? Life is love. It is not menacing. Life is not about you did this, therefore you get that, and you were like this, and you get that. It's not like that at all. Not in my experience with people who have been leaving their bodies all these years. It's not like that at all. I watch people go through what they go through. Some go through it with grace and elegance, and others go through it fighting and screaming and emotionalizing. We die the way we lived, and that's all I know to say to you. And do we suffer, in the end, through death or through tragedies in the afterlife coming up? No, I don't know. I don't know. And no one knows for sure. And if somebody tells you they know, they're nuttier than a fruitcake. And you see, the deal is, and it's very, very true, when I was in India and I watched people die there right and left, even that last trip I made in the early 90s, when we were filming some beautiful Aspire TV programs that you can watch on the website here called The Call to India, there was some very amazing things that we saw, and we filmed it, but we never publicly showed it because it just wasn't appropriate. It really wasn't. But there are people who die consciously, and there are people who don't die consciously. And depending upon how you lived your life depends upon what kind of experience you're going to have when you leave your body. I can't tell you what you're going to experience because it's individualistic for all of us. Religion would have you believe so many fairy stories and ideas about how to die, when to die, how we will die, da-da-da-da-da, all that garbage. It does all of that kind of stuff, and it just, well, it makes people crazy in this life. It takes away their life. I want you to have every direct experience you can have with love. I want every experience to be about something about love in you, something beautiful, because that's the only thing that matters. Worrying about how you're going to die and what the payback is going to be at your death seems a little, presumptuous of all of us. I've had some very beautiful experiences with people who are crossing over. Very beautiful. Experiences that I never, ever, could have imagined. And then again, I've had some very difficult experiences with people who are crossing over because they were resisting the whole process. So to answer your question, the best way I can answer it is resist not, want not. Come what may. Whatever it is that's going to come into your life, however it's going to come, let it come into your life. Let it come, let it offer its blessing, and then let it go. That's all I know to say to you. Because with everybody, as I say, it is different. Every experience is different. And I can say this with complete confidence. The experience that you and I will get, Linda, will be the experience of ourselves and how we have lived in this lifetime in this world. Whatever that is for you, whatever that is for me, so be it. So be it. Please forgive me. Namaste. I probably sound a little nebulous, huh? But I don't want to be definitive here, because to be definitive here is to lead you astray. And that's not what this is about. I'm not here to, you know, build stories. I want you to have your own experience. I like what the Zen master said. His student asks him, how do I prepare for death? And the master says, live. And he says, how do I live? And the master said, prepare for death. It's a wonderful teaching. And if you understand that, you understand my answer. The last question comes from Joyce, and she does not tell me where she lives. Is the life I live and how I get it or I don't get it the big payback for me? If I don't understand life, do I get slapped with life anyway, with things I don't understand? Joyce. All of us go through this. Joyce, life is huge. It's more than oceanic. It's a universe. And it is not the universe I can think, I can reason with, I can pretend I understand. It is so much bigger than that. So when you're thinking about the meaning of your life, which I suppose you are, is in this life, do we live for what we are, what we get? You're confusing the issue. And you're trying to make this too complicated. Let me make it a little simpler for you, and maybe this will help. You are here as love. The only thing that guides you is the love you can feel inside. Most of us only feel emotionality. So therefore, we don't feel much. We don't know much. We don't live well. Because we live according to what our emotions are computing. And when I live according to my emotionality, I miss the meaning of everything that exists as important in my life. So the thing that is most important is, do I have the direct experience of love in my heart? Will I allow for that experience? Can I get beyond my emotionality? My human emotions that are always making life fight or flight. It's all about the living beyond the concession of emotional attachment to anyone and anything. It is about seeing into your life and how beautiful it actually is, with all of its endeavors and its difficulties. If you can see life for what it is, really see it for what it is, beyond the skeptical concepts of right and wrong, good and bad, you will start to self-realize. You will start to understand every moment is important. Everything is leading to something else, to something else, to something else. Nothing in this world is static. So if you can understand that, then live life as though it were alive, because it is alive. You are alive. You are very much alive. At all points, even in death, you are very much alive. I have seen it for myself over and over. Death is the letting go, but the heart is about living. Live in your heart. If you do, you will understand the meaning of your life. And if you live in your heart, you will understand why everything happened just as it happened, the way it happened, in the only way it could have happened. And if you get that, if you really get that at any point, you will find all of your questions are gone and the meaning of your life. Oh, it is right there for you. It is there to bring you insight, compassion, beauty, forgiveness, and the utmost mercy. I hope that helps. I really do. I know it sounds a little nebulous here, but it's very, very important that you understand it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, here, we're done for another day. I hope that all of this helped you a little bit. If you have a comment or question, go to the website, if you would, please, aspire.org. Go to media, and you will see Satsang with Suraj. That to be me. You can just click on that, and there's a place to email me. You listen to past radio programs, future radio programs, all sorts of things. TV programs are all there for you, and they're all there to serve you well. I hope they do. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.